Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame.
Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name and we thank you for bringing us as far as we've been brought. And it seems sometimes like it's never ending and it's got always got another chapter waiting for us, but we're going to go ahead and hang in there, do what it was that you told us to do, to watch and pray and to occupy and continue to do the work that you have laid before us. We praise you for the opportunity to be at the, I would argue, the cutting edge of understanding all the way from intergalactic alien host beings to spiritual entities and all kinds of incredible prophecies that have, well, they're coming true. They're coming true. The ones that we've talked about for the last 10, 14 years, give or take. And Father, we thank you for the way that you have built upon our understanding incrementally so that we would be able to accept the things that you are trying to show us that we wouldn't have been able to accept if we didn't have the necessary foundation in place. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you also for revealing to us things that are in our lives, things the way that we think, the way that we should and ought to be thinking, and helping us to keep it in check and to repent for the things that we shouldn't have thought, and to monitor ourselves, to examine ourselves, 1 Corinthians 28, 31 and 32, so that we can stay as close to perfect harmony with your will as you would want us to be, that we would not miss the barley harvest, that we would not miss this opportunity, Father, because it has eternal ramifications, eternal inheritance and rewards, and just so many. It's such an amazing opportunity that you've laid before us, Lord Jesus. We praise you for loving us. We thank you for being our friend. We don't deserve it, and we pray that you, and in accordance with your word, Matthew 18:19, where two or more are gathered together on this earth concerning anything that they ask for in Jesus' name, it will be given them. And also, in accordance with Luke 21:36, where you commanded us, Jesus, to pray always to be counted worthy, because we're not, and we can't do anything to make ourselves worthy. It's a continuous process of trying to get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. Let us all be counted worthy. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, if there is anything that we can do, if there is anything that you can lay in front of us, to place it upon our heart that we can go the extra mile, we'll call it, in order to serve you the way that you wish for us to do. Please make it obvious to us. Please make it just echo in our heart that and just pull us to do, make us desire to do it more than we would have otherwise. We want you to help us to get to the place that we will meet with you and receive welcome, good and faithful servant, if that is at all possible. Because for me, when I look at myself, I don't think I could possibly deserve that if it wasn't for your incredible, merciful love and helping hand. And Father, if there is anybody that is tempted to listen to the show, that found the website, whatever the case may be, got an email, maybe they should have gotten, maybe they shouldn't have gotten. Father, if they're not a believer, we pray in Jesus' name, and we declare Job 31, 14, and 15. We pray that you will send angels, an innumerable company of angels of light and love in your presence, Lord Jesus, into their dreams and visions of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, when they slumbereth upon their bed, to save their souls from the pit and to seal their instruction. Hallelujah. again, we thank you, Father, for helping us to be able to pray for those who are in harm's way, to ask for angels to be sent into the spiritual realm, to be able to stand by, to snatch the souls of those people, those victims, Father God, that knew no better and never got a chance. And we just pray, Father, they will rip those souls out of the hands of the demons of darkness, and similar to what was revealed to Julie Wedby in that prophecy, where they were given another chance to stand in the courtrooms of heaven and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're going to embrace that vision. We're going to pray in Jesus' name that you will do that, Father, because we believe that you are just that merciful, because the scripture says your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. We pray for those who do not understand the things that are happening right now. We pray for the American church, because they have no clue what they're doing, the things that they're rooting for, the things that they're pushing for, the things that they're, it's a travesty. And Father, we just pray in Jesus' name, please, please forgive them, forgive every one of us, because none of us are worthy. And we pray that you, again, that you will count us worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before you. And we pray also with a welcome, good and faithful servant at the wedding supper of the Lamb. How awesome is that? We give you all the praise and honor and glory from both now and forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. So I got an email earlier today where someone had asked me, you know, essentially had pointed out that things are just going crazy, that they're going back to a negotiation table with Iran, and how can this be? And there's so many conflicting reports, and what direction is it going? And can you please give a message, you know, to kind of straighten us all out and help us to understand what's going on and this, that, and the other thing? Okay, all right. So anyway, and I went ahead and answered that, and I could read it back to you, but you know what? I'm just going to not, and instead I'm going to read to you some other things. Now, this is only going to be an hour-long show. It might not even last an entire hour, and that's okay. Sometimes I might pop on here for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going to do whenever I start a program. I just know that I always seem to run over time. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so I have a collection of things that I can talk about. You know, what I do is I do my typical doom scrolling. I get up oftentimes, if I'm getting up late, I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 a.m. If I'm getting up early or round about my normal time, it's usually somewhere between 3:15 and 3:30 a.m. All right. Now, there's a lot of things that are in play right now. That thing with my shoulder, just so you know, there are a lot of people that asked about that. And I mentioned that I have a rotator cuff problem with it because of the cartilage in my shoulder. And I was told I was going to have to get surgery. Well, it turns out that combination of type 1, type 2, and type 3protein, it's not colostrum. That's another thing. So whenever I deviate, I get my terminology off, hold on a second. Type 2 collagen. Okay, there it is. So you got type 1 and type 3 collagen, which is, it's from cows. Okay, and then you've got this unique one that you don't often see in the combination packs, and you'll notice that it's a lot more expensive. If it has type 2 in it, it's going to, you're not going to get it for $20. Okay, you're going to be paying more like $59.95 or whatever every month. All right, what I do is I go to bulk supplements, and I buy bulk stuff, and then I combine it that way. But there's also a pill that supposedly supercharges the how your body deals with collagen. So I also take some what's called super greens and reds, which are probiotics and whatever. And some fiber and, some different things. But the point I'm trying to bring up here is, to my absolute astonishment, I just wanted to mention this to you. For those of you out there that have, meniscus issues in your, you know, anything that has to do with, you know, the cartilage in your bones, where your various bone joints, like your rotator cuff in your shoulder or whatever, or your knees. If you have those kind, that kind of damage, I want to tell you something. At first, I was a little doubtful. I really was. But I was pretty doubtful for a really long time. It helped a little bit. I noticed that. But then I kept on believing. Took a little bit more of the type 2 collagen, which is the chicken collagen, which actually works and heals, you know, cartilage problems. I'm here to tell you, folks, right now, I don't have a problem with my left shoulder. I was lined up to go in and see an orthopedic surgeon, whatever the case is, and have him do an MRI and tell me how bad it was and, you know, Look, I am sick and tired of going under the knife. I don't know about you and if you've ever done it, but when I did for my knee, and that still sometimes hurts. So I'm on this regimen right now, and it's unbelievable. My left shoulder is completely healed. Thank you, Jesus. So I just thought I'd let you know, for those of you who had asked me about that, I still got a photograph of the stuff. I can take another photograph, maybe zoom in a little bit and get a little more detailed for those of you who want to ask about it. Because I know a lot of us are, you know, past the age of 50 or whatever, and that you develop those kinds of problems. You know, not everybody does, but a lot of people do. And it turns out that I was one of the lucky ones, and I'm just thrilled so much. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to go in and get nothing done. My left shoulder doesn't hurt. I can sleep however I want to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And anyway, so I wanted to go ahead and give that praise report to you. Of course, I was also laying my hands on my shoulder and saying, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But anyway, that's beside the point. Let's get back over to what's going on right now. So as the day was coming to an end, and it was getting closer to 5 o'clock, and I already collected a handful of things, I looked at the collection of things, the posts, the content providers on X in my, you know, finely tuned Twitter feed, or X feed, I was looking at what they were posting and the things that they were saying, and I saw, you know, Draco T come out and tell everybody that he had, you know, had a meeting with Iran and met with them. They cut a deal and everything went really well and all this other stuff. And I was immediately boulder dash. I knew it was bunk. But ask yourself, be honest with yourself. I mean, just totally let go and be honest with yourself. Has Draco T ever said anything true? No. Look up the term megalomaniac, just like it sounds, megalomaniac, okay, and read it. That's exactly that's him to a T. It doesn't get any more descriptive than that. It's absolutely as accurate can be. So I'm, you know, without getting into the ifs, ands, and buts and who did what first and all the fake rubber mask versions Satan, a lot of people call him that, Melkowski, if you want to call him that. I don't know. I don't even want to refer to him, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, does it really matter whether or not he's alive or dead? No, the things that are happening are going to happen no matter what. God is in control, and he is allowing Satan at this time to manipulate the world in a manner that is within the confines of his will to bring about the manifestation and the, you know, of the prophecies that and the direction that God has intended for the entire world. Okay, so that's really where it comes down to. He has Satan on a long leash. He's letting them get away with a lot of different things. That's why we're seeing all the stuff that we're seeing happening right now. A lot of it makes us just want to rip our hair out and sell daisies and orange robes at the airport. I get it. I it drives me nuts too, but you know, we're just going to have to hang in there. We're going to have to deal with our jobs. Look, who likes their job? And if you're telling me right now that you like your job, then you're what, 21 years old? And you just got your first decent paying job? Which, of course, in this day and age, that would make you a Gen Zer, which would make that particular statement pretty much impossible. But anyway, praise God. Nobody likes their jobs. Nobody wants to work. That's why, you know, after, you know, the whole ejection from the Garden of Eden and everything, it was a curse that God put on man that we would have to plow the fields and work hard in order to deal with this life. You know, so, you know, it's good that we have a job. Praise God that we have a job. But, you know, come on, you'd have to be, you'd have to definitely have a couple of Frankenstein bolts loose on your head fitting, you know, and to say, boy, I just love my job. I can't wait for Monday to come back. I can't wait to get back to work. You know, believe me, the people that I know, it'll be all they can do to, like, you know, not say anything, if you know what I mean, that they regret. All right, so all this stuff that happened today triggered concerns amongst some people. I'm just going to leave it at that. Do I know how many people? Well, do I know what percentage of people? Do I, you know, I operate in a, I don't know what you want to call it. Excuse me. I'm highly emotionally driven. I'm an HSP, almost a 20 score on the test, probably about a 17. That's a highly sensitive person, which means I'm empathetic, which is a good thing because, you know, you're very unlikely to hold a grudge against somebody when they do you wrong, which of course is going to send you to hell anyways. So as the day progressed and I had a couple of questions come in, now, there's first one thing that I have to make an announcement thereof, okay, in regard to this. Wait, those are loud trumpets. Yeah, those are some loud trumpets. All right. So I'm coming to the end of this week. It's going to be around the 26th. This is the time when my current project at work kicks in the hyperdrive. So in order for me to keep my job, exaggeration here. This is our do or die thing with a very, very powerful customer and also a salesperson who is extremely powerful. Okay. Now, all that being said, I have to do an incredible job. If the customer in any way is not happy with my output, the blowback is going to be, well, it won't be survivable. It'll be kind of like a 10 megaton thermonuclear, you know, whatever. It's going to be bad. So I'm going to disappear a little bit. During the day, I've had a couple of moments, you know, periods of time, chunks of, you know, maybe an hour here or an hour there, or maybe a couple hours at the end of the day, where I was able to jump in and do a quick program. I'm kind of thinking that's really just not going to happen between maybe a little bit at the end of this week. But then I go into hyperdrive and I've got like 3 weeks from that point barely to get done next to the impossible. And of course I develop hiccups. I always do. I always do. And every show, the devil never lets me get away with doing a show without hiccups. That's just how it goes. All right. Praise Jesus. So anyway, going on toward the end of the day, I was probing around and taking my last, you know, look-see on the Doom Scroll and stuff. By the way, there's a whole group of new people out there, which I don't particularly care much for how they feel about things, because I completely disagree, because the Seven Mountains Mandate people, they're really leading, like the Pied Piper, a lot of Christians right to the pit, but they need prayer because they're so deeply deceived, and that deception has crept into the evangelical church ranks, and of course is combined with all the Schofield nonsense, and you put all that together and you got yourself one gigantic 8-lane freeway right to the pit. All right, so we need to be praying for them as much as we possibly can. They are delusional about their understanding on how the Bible works. They do not understand that the new covenant supersedes the old covenant. You cannot point to a scripture in the Old Testament if it has been superseded by Jesus as part of the new covenant. If you don't understand those concepts, you have no business teaching anything to anybody. But anyway, I'm just going to let that one drop for now and move forward with the rest of the story.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
Wrong. It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
All right. So, Jesus. First and foremost, I'd like to say that this stuff might go on for a while. So if you're one of those people that are just like biting your lower lip till it bleeds, you just have a really bad day every Monday and you're just, you can't stand it. You're flipping out. If you're one of those types of personalities, you've got to take a chill pill. You've got to. Relax. It's another Monday. Rainy days and Mondays always get you down. And just leave it at that. Okay. Enough said. So anyway, I went through, I was kind of eyeballing the list that, you know, skimming through it and everything of all the stuff that I collected. It wasn't much. Typically, if I only have this much stuff, I would just roll forward and I wouldn't do a show in the interim. But I think the significance of the things that are happening at this moment in time are is great enough that, you know, I figured I better jump in there real quick and kind of like set the record straight a little bit, because it is confusing. It is troubling. Please do know this. We don't know how long this is going to drag out, and our Heavenly Father's mercy is unbelievable, and He wants to save everybody's souls. So that means, well, we could be here for a while. So we need to buckle up. We need to believe that that is a high level of likelihood. High, moderate, and low. This one's high. We're probably going to be here for a while. So relax. Take a chill pill. I ordered a sticker. I got a new laptop, and I like to put stickers on my laptops. You know, I got one that says, choose happy. Another sticker that says, it always seems impossible until it's done. Well, today, I'm supposed to get my... I think it says something like, I should have taken the blue pill. Okay. I'm going to stick that on the other side of my screen of my laptop. And, well, who knows? Maybe that'll open up some conversation avenues. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Praise God. All right. So anyway, I ran across this content provider's post on X. And I read over it and I said, well, I'll be darned. Now, I've read this particular content provider before, and they've always seemed to nail it. Really did. Now, whether or not they believe that Trump is a good guy, you know, or whatever, that can cause you to take a different position on how you feel about their content. I'm just going to read to you what this one says. Okay, so this is was arguably about 52 minutes ago, but in reality, since I started the program, that was 23 minutes ago. So you got to add 52, 23, and you have how many minutes ago before this content provider that calls itself Intelsky, Intelsky, when they actually published this. Now, I don't do this because it's time-consuming normally, but I'm going to, because the summary of what this Intelsky post says is very good. It's really very good. So I'm going to go ahead and read this to you, and then I'll, you know, given any amount of time that we have left over before we go over the hour, I'll try to pluck a few things out that you might want to be aware of in addition to this information. Praise God. All right. So anyway, here we go. Quote, the evening of the 24th of March, the American five-day deception, Washington evacuates its citizens from the Middle East in preparation for all-out war, and Tehran shatters the illusion of climbing down from the tree. Strategic and Operational Report, Monday, the March 23rd, 2026, evening of the 24th day. On the evening of the 24th day, the dust of the American deception will settle. Trump's announcement to postpone the strikes for 5 days under the pretext of negotiations was neither a climb down from the tree nor a surrender to Iranian deterrence. Rather, it's a malicious tactical truce aimed at deceiving global markets and, more importantly, buying time to execute the largest and most complex evacuation of American citizens and diplomats from the entire Middle East, from Israel to Saudi Arabia and the Gulf. While the world thought Trump backed down out of fear in the Gulf energy, that the Gulf energy targets would be struck, the United States State Department was issuing a series of its most severe alerts, worldwide caution, turning the Middle East into a red zone and urging Americans to flee immediately. In contrast, Tehran read the hidden intentions, rejected the illusion of negotiations, and declared clearly through its foreign minister, what are we negotiating over? ? We are without leadership, without weapons, as you claimed. Here is the in-depth panoramic reading of the hours of the calm before the great storm. First, answering the most important question, what is America hiding and why is it fleeing? Washington is playing a dangerous double game. Financial and military deception. Trump announced the postponement of war strikes, for 5 days to calm the oil and stock markets, which would have collapsed under the threat if they had been carried out immediately. Simultaneously, he is using these 5 days to wait for the completion of the readiness of 22 NATO countries, which finally agreed to join the coalition to open the Strait of Hormuz. Now, that particular statement I am holding at arm's length, because I have seen no evidence whatsoever that any NATO countries are going to do much of anything, if anything. So I'm holding that one at arm's length, at least arm's length. Then he goes on to say, tactical flight, terrifying alerts. The urgent alerts issued by the United States Department today, State Department today, for Israel, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, Oman, Iraq, any means over, even over land buses from Israel to Egypt and Jordan, closing the consular services and issuing a shelter-in-place order to the Sultanate of Oman confirms the Pentagon has made the decision to launch a comprehensive destructive war the moment the 5 days expire. They want to empty the region of American hostages who might be targeted by Iran or its factions. At least this content provider allegates. Will nuclear weapons be used? The flight of citizens and preparation of widespread strikes with NATO participation, which they're claiming, but I haven't seen any evidence thereof, aim to destroy the entirety of Iran's infrastructure, which experts have proven is fortified and linked to 6 neighboring countries. Really? Well, I'll have to see a little more proof before I'm going to buy that one. That might be a whopper with some extra pickles. All right. If conventional bombers fail, resorting to, those would be bunker busters, unconventional weapons or strategic bunker buster bombs will be on the table to break Iran's steadfastness out of the fear of power outages and disruptions to the water desalination plants in the Gulf, should Tehran retaliate. Second, the Iranian response, no negotiations over our ashes, the diplomatic slap, the Iranian foreign minister and parliament speaker, Qolibov, publicly belied Trump, no negotiations took place, it was all the use of fake news to influence the markets, Aragachi's sarcastic remark, what are we negotiating over, reflects Tehran's conviction that America is not serious and is seeking in its seeking of surrender, not a settlement, which is true. I mean, come on. It's always loaded. You know, Iran is saying we have to pay war reparations and everything. So this is an impasse. It will remain an impasse. There's no negotiations. Any claim of a negotiation is automatic bovine, you know what I mean. Anyways. You know, the stuff that's causing global warming. Not. Okay, anyway. Goes on to say, exchanged messages, the presence of mediators, Egypt, Turkey, Pakistan, the Sultanate of Oman was confirmed. But Washington set impossible conditions, rejecting reparations and refusing to acknowledge aggression, making the mediation dead on arrival. Boy, how many times have we seen that? We've seen it in Ukraine. We've seen it between Ukraine and Russia. Every single time that there's ever been a negotiation since the giant fat Draco from the pits of Sheol has taken the helm, guess what? Nothing but lies, lies, pants on fire, more lies and lies and lies. It stinks. And as a matter of fact, they say all the time, and they show the video of people standing nearby the big Draco, and you know what? And they show the look on their face. They're like, man, did he let one, you know, go or something? You know, why does that person look like they're choking on foul fumes or something? And, you know, they make, you know, pointed allegations and such. I don't know what it is. I don't care to know what it is. It's all the vast majority of us can deal with. Okay, I have people that we share information with, and I would call it, like, if it was in cybersecurity, it'd be called an information sharing and something service. I forget what it's called, ISACs. But anyway, the point is, we debate these kinds of things, but, you know, I've been asked to please not even put its picture. I do mean its picture up. So luckily I have a screen cap utility that I can just put a big black box over his face. And I don't blame him. I don't want to look at that creature either. It makes me sick to my stomach. And the very idea that so many people buy his baloney, and you got to read that stuff when you're going through your doom scrolling, and oh my gosh. And the amount of people that are going, go Donald Trump, go Donald Trump, way to go, go. And I'm like going, thinking to myself, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, can I tolerate this? Can I make it to the next program? How much more of this can I allow into my system? When I say system, I'm talking about the whole operation that makes me whatever I am. Trapped inside of a human body, waiting to get out of here as a manifestation of the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyways, goes on to say, so again, the refusing the aggression, making the mediation dead on arrival. So in other words, it's the same as it ever was. It's the talking head, same as it ever was, same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Intelsky goes on to say, third, the Lebanese front and wave 77. That was the one last night. By the way, anybody, when things appear to be quiet, to those of you who are trying to hunt around and see what's going on over in Israel, they're not. They are not quiet. I have Red Alert. That's the application that they use over in Israel to get notified that they need to go into, you know, a place of safety. And it won't shut up. I mean, it's just... It's like 5,000 hungry cats outside your window. Anyway, the Lebanese front in Wave 77, the illusion of postponement. Hezbollah does not recognize deadlines while Washington speaks of 5 days. The Israeli army directed residents of the north to remain close to shelters, anticipating an intensification of Hezbollah's attacks. The party affirmed that the occupation's incursion did not surpass the first line. It's all kinds of Islamic mumbo-jumbo. I'm not going to go there. Proving the failure of the ground operation. Wave 77, the Revolutionary Guards did not halt their operation. Rather, they announced the execution of Wave 77 against targets in the North Center and South Occupied Territory, stressing that Trump's postponement did not bind them to anything. In other words, it had no effect. All right, very wordy way of saying it had no effect. Anyway, next one up. Fourth, force majeure. The preparation of the major strikes, arming bombers in Europe. Wall Street Journal revealed that the United States bombers are being refueled via European military bases. Is that the NATO participation they're talking about? Because that's pretty lame, if that's what they're referring to. This explains NATO's participation. There you go. It answered the question. Boy, if that's all they got to do is refuel a couple of planes here or there, boy, they got off. What a waste of breath. But anyway, participation improves. The upcoming strike will be far broader in scope. Oh, does it now? Whoever these NATO people are who are standing there with a gas thing in their hands, refueling some... This is absolutely ludicrous. The paratrooper drop option. The New York Times revealed that the Pentagon is considering deploying combat brigades from the 82nd Airborne Division to support operations, corroborating what the Wall Street Journal reported during the arrival of the U.S. Marines in the Middle East on Friday. Well, I got news for you, folks. It's 5,000. This means the scenario of occupying Karg, it's K-H-A-R-G, that's the island. There's an island that's just, you know, a little bit into the Strait of Hormuz, not far. You could probably, if you're a good swimmer, almost swim from the island of Karg. But it's a major depot that Iran uses to fuel and fill up tankers and do things like that. And it's a technological heart of Iran's ability to be able to keep the lights on. So there are arguments that all these 5,000 Marines and everything else under the sun that they're sending over there are going to go after Karg Island. There's also there was also an announcement today, one of the reports, that said that Israel made a decision to attack, oh, goodness gracious, what was it? It's on the tip of my tongue. South Cars or something like that. It's the gigantic reservoir of oil that is shared between Qatar and Iran. But I'm forgetting the name of it, and that's all right. That's too bad. But if Israel did a false flag on that operation, that would be extremely bad. That would be extremely, extremely, extremely bad. Because the response from Iran verbally, which their warnings, they usually don't wait. They don't say, didn't you hear our warning? Didn't you hear what I said last week? Didn't you hear what... No, they don't do that. They just go at it with no warnings at all. So anyway, that would be bad. Because their response... threat, which wasn't a threat, it's a promise, is that if there was an attack on that facility, that their response would be to wipe out all the other energy creation facilities, you know, the refinement of fuel, the refinement of oil, the creation of gas, all that kind of stuff. They were going to go after everybody, the UAE, Oman, Kuwait, you name it, Qatar. They're just going to level it all. It's kind of like the Samson option that Israel has with all the nuclear weapons, okay, except it's about all the oil facilities, the oil processing facilities in the Middle East, and the GCC. The GCC is a nickname for everybody else except Iran. So whenever you hear that GCC name, it has something to do with the Gulf, you know, contributing states or whatever. Forget about it. Everybody but Iran, that's all you got to remember. Everybody but Iran is the GCC. So they come along and they say, this particular post, conclusion and final assessment. The announcement of negotiations and a five-day postponement is merely a false painkiller to close the markets at the end of the week with relative stability and to secure flights of tens of thousands of Americans from Gulf and Israel. Once the evacuation is complete and the 22 NATO ships are positioned, I believe that when I see it. I do not believe that. I do not believe that. But I got my crows in case I need them. And you're looking pretty darn good because I haven't had anything to eat today except a couple of pickled eggs. That's right. Quit your complaining. Anyway, so if 22 NATO ships shows up in the Gulf, I will gladly, gladly eat every one of you. Ha, ha, ha. Kids, you care if I eat all the crows? I think you were probably about done with it all. All right, so anyway, they end it with this final summary. The Gulf states realized the trap belatedly, which is the mediations of Egypt, Turkey, Pakistan, became active. If the American attack is carried out by the end of the week, Iran will not only target military bases, but will execute its threat, leaked by Mir News Agency, to strike power and desalination plants in Saudi Arabia and UAE, Qatar, and Kuwait. That's pretty serious. Means people are going to starve. People are going to die from water, lack of water. It's going to be absolutely horrible. The region is heading toward an energy and water stone age, and all this is happening to save Trump's pride. Look up the term megalomaniac. And Netanyahu's illusion of eliminating the axis of resistance, which is really about, hey, let's go ahead and expand to greater Israel so we can bring forth our Messiah. So anyway, let's go ahead and do this. Define megalomaniac. Here we go. All right. Oh, this is a terrible one here. Let me just go ahead. Oh, no. Okay, nope, I'll go over to my backup, which always does a fabulous job. Let me just ask it innocently. What is a megalomaniac? A megalomaniac is a person who has an extreme, exaggerated sense of their own power, importance, and greatness. The term is not a clinical diagnosis today. It's more of a descriptive label used in everyday language. Think of it as a combination of grandiosity, I'm destined for greatness, power obsession, I should be in control of everything, inflated self-importance, the rules don't apply to me, the need for admiration, and disregard for others' perspectives. Know anybody? I mean, come on. Does this not hit it out of the park? Key traits often associated with megalomaniac includes: they believe they are uniquely important or superior to everybody else. They are obsessed with power. They are obsessed with status. They are obsessed with control. They expect special treatment. They dismiss criticism as ignorance and jealousy. They may fantasize about unlimited success or influence, and they often lack insight into how their behavior affects others, which, by the way, is a term used to describe a sociopath. A sociopath may know that they hurt your feelings, but they're not going to give a rip. They don't have empathy. They don't feel for other people's feelings at all. They may see the look in your eyes, but they really don't care at all. And for most human beings, that is a very, very difficult thing to understand. The depth of the evil, the magnitude of the evil that is occurring right now on this planet is beyond, I would argue, probably 98%, if not more actually, of the global population. They simply can't believe it. If you tell them about Satan, if you tell them what they're doing to the babies, if you tell them about the blood sacrifice ceremonies and the eating of different parts and things like that, they would go, oh, that does not happen. Get out of my house. They go in. It's like the five stages of grief, and the first one is denial. Every single time. And, you know, we've all gotten to a place in our walk, I think, right now, I think it's fair to say, that we can't debate. We can't discuss it. We can plant seeds, but all you're going to do is bubble up anger. You're going to bubble up anger. And it says in Proverbs 16 and 17, it says, these six things the Lord hates, yea, the seven of them. He says, and the last one is to create a division amongst the brethren. All right? So it's better to just let them believe what they want to believe and pray. What we really need to do is to learn how to plant seeds that tantalize the fish, that captures the imagination of the fish, that makes them want to ask more questions. But very few have honed, you know, create, they don't know how to do it. That's known as the Socratic method of teaching. You ask a question. Do you suppose anybody could be that evil? Where have all the children gone? Do you think Sound of Freedom was a true movie, or did they make all that up? But why would they do that? Those are lures on the end of your fishers of men fishing poles. But you gotta be careful, because you can trip over that line that event, that mental event horizon so easily that that fish not only jumps off your hook, but pulls you out of the boat and makes you get bitten by a great white. Okay, that's probably a little extreme, but you know what I'm saying. If you're in a church and you say that to enough, say enough of this stuff, Donald Trump is a compulsive liar, he's a megalomaniac, you don't understand your Bible, you're obviously stuck somewhere in a Schofield lie from hell, there is no such thing as dispensationalism covering, you know, Jesus, all the things that Jesus said that we have to do it. It's not just directed at the Jews. There is no such thing as a pre-trib rapture. We're well into the tribulation period right now. You know, you need to wake up! But you know what? What are you going to accomplish? They're just going to call their friends. Go get the big pitchfork and dip it in dung and light that thing on fire. We got a hot one here we got to go capture before they break free of the parking lot. Come on, boys. Let's go get them. All right. Praise God. All right. So anyway, we're down to the 46-minute mark. I'm just going to kind of probe through what I got here. All right. So you got that. On the five-day distraction kind of a deal that's going on, there are approximately at this point, the last count was 5,000 United States Marines, starting with the USS Tripoli, which brought in 2,500 in that direction. They are expecting the total of five. There you go, the hiccups again. The devil wants me to hiccup my way through the rest of the. There I go again. Hallelujah. I rebuke you, devil, and you must flee from me now. Get out in Jesus' name. Fire of God, slam you to the ground in Jesus' name, I declare it. Hallelujah. Sorry if I busted out your eardrums. Hopefully you didn't have on a headset. All right, so anyway. 77th wave of Iranian attacks started last night. Now, here's the thing. When I use my red alert, I know that the attacks are going on. My phone is constantly going, wow, wow, wow. And I can actually look. They actually show you which places were hit by the Iranian. They hit Dimona. They hit the actual town of Dimona. There was some severe damage that was done there. That's where they have the nuclear, you know, at least one of the nuclear facilities in Israel. All that kind of stuff. All right. And then, of course, Donald Trump, you know, because he likes to come across as absolutely demented and incompetent. And he is. I think he really, truly is. But I think sometimes they hit him with enough of an injection of, you know, whatever drug they're feeding him to keep him coherent to some degree. But he's come out and said, oh yeah, me and the Ayatollah, we're going to go ahead and co-manage the strait. And when I saw that published, I thought to myself, good thing that shrimp fork is not sitting right in front of me right now. You know, if I didn't have my closet so full of stuff, I'd go buy myself an orange suit and, you know, some fake daisies, just to make me feel better. Then I could say, you know, I really could quit my job and sell daisies at the airport. Man, I would feel good. All right, so anyway, let's see, what else do we have? Oh, the stock scam. So get this. So this whole thing about, so I'm just going to read this to you. This is absolutely insane, according to the poster on X. So go Bessie Letter, they're really big into finances. They're super, super smart, way smarter than me. And they said, this is absolutely insane. At 7:04 a.m. ET today, President Trump said the United States and Iran have productive discussions to end the war. By 7:10 a.m., the S&P 500 surged 240 points. And adding $2 trillion to the market cap. 27 minutes later, Iran came out and denied everything that President Trump had said, claiming and said there was no contact with the United States at all. By 8 a.m. ET, the S&P 500 had fallen back another 120 points, erasing the $1 trillion in market cap. That's $3 trillion of swing market cap in 56 minutes just on the S&P 500 alone. Now, see, they have put options, and you can buy shares, and the value of the share going up is money that you make. But then what you do is you put options, and what those are is that you're betting that it's going to crash. So you do both. You make money while it's going up in the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then you make money when it's going down in the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Well, that's what they did. all using our money. Let me tell you something, folks. I honestly believe the average evangelical Christian, if they just got a full download of the evil and what the evil's been doing all at one time, honestly, I really think it would kill them. I think they would die on the spot. I think they would just drop over dead. That's why they scream, "I don't believe that. That's absolutely ridiculous. Go get the pitchfork. You know, we got to get rid of this one. Call the ushers now. Hurry. Get the ushers. Now, McGregor's constantly making continuous inferences. He's not stating it. But when you look at the headline of whatever McGregor says, they always say, "McGregor says that they're going to use nukes." No, McGregor does not. What he says is, if this stuff continues forward in the way that it has been thus far, there is a possibility that they could go beyond, you know, conventional war techniques or whatever. And so, of course, everybody exaggerates it because they want to use clickbait. Okay, and oh, by the way, now the reports, and forgive me for this, are now reporting that the total number of soldiers that will be there by Friday into the Middle East is up to 8,000. How about that? Place your bets. Hallelujah. Australia, get this, folks. Australia's gas tanks, petrol. I think they call them petrol. I know all over Europe it's petrol. You know, I'm like driving past these places and I'm like, they're all really colorful and they're all really clean, unlike anything in the United States of Babylon the Great. And I'm like going, and it says it's petrol. And I was thinking to myself, well, thank goodness that I took Latin for 2 years. Like, that helped. The one thing that helps me with the 2 years that I took of Latin and the 2 years that I took of French, I just wish that I remembered more, because I have a French friend right now and I'd like to speak in French with her, but I only remember a couple of things. Okay, but yeah, the Latin root words of Latin-based languages helps me to be able to look at signs and streets and things in other countries, and I go, oh, petrol, petroleum. The root word, the Latin root word of the word petrol is married to the word petroleum, which is married to the word gasoline, which is why they don't call them gas stations. They're petrol stations. They're petroleum stations. Ugh. Guess what? They're running out of gas in Australia. They're putting that dreaded bag over the top of it. You know how, well you guys probably, you know, I don't know where you live, and I, you know, it's really kind of beside the point and irrelevant to what I'm trying to make, but the point I'm trying to make. But here's the thing. If you live in a hurricane zone like Florida, you know what that dreaded yellow bag looks like. Matter of fact, when you're driving up to the petrol station, okay, you can spot it from a better part of about three quarters of a mile away. You can see those nauseating little bags over all the handles and pumps. And you're going, your heart is sinking. You're like going, oh, no. Oh, and I have so many things I've got to get done around the house, and there's a big list, and I want to just, please, Lord, let me chisel it away. And then now I've got to change the priorities and get more pure petrol. At least so my generator works for a little bit. What that, you know, 5 gallons of petrol, if you're not cycling your generator, it you know, if you are cycling your generator, that means running it for about an hour and then turning it off for a couple hours and then running it for an hour and then turning it off for a couple hours. If you're cycling your generator, you can make 5 gallons last a long time. But if you're not, it runs out. You know, if you just run it all night, it's gone by the next day. So 5 gallons barely gets you through a day. I don't even think it does a full 24 hours. Anyway. So, and of course, there's that guy, Chris Bledsoe, who's hearing from fallen angels. Okay, so just watch out what he's telling everybody. He's telling everybody that UFOs will appear and stop the Middle Eastern war. And I'm like, actually, that's kind of accurate, but by then all of us should have seen and prepared ourselves for departure, bought clean rapture jammies, thrown ourselves prostrate on the ground like Daniel did. Please, Jesus, count me worthy. That big copper ball spaceship that David Doetry saw, that's coming before any UFOs stop anything going on in the Middle East. A lot of things lining up, folks. Don't let yourself get discouraged. Hang in there. It's getting exciting. You just have to really push yourself for extra patience. God bless you all. Until next time.